Turn your Bible. We're actually going to be in the book of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And as you're turning there, a newcomer was attending the service at church for the first time, and the sermon seemed to go on forever. Many in the congregation actually fell asleep. After the service, to be social, the visitor walked up to a very sleepy-looking gentleman, extended her hand in greeting, and said, "Hello, I'm Gladys Dunn." The man replied, "You're not the only one, ma'am. I'm Gladys Dunn, too." Gladys Dunn, Harley. Amen. This morning, I want to touch on a topic about counterfeits. Counterfeits in the congregation. And since the beginning of time, Satan has declared outright war on the Word of God and anyone who chooses to follow it. At first, Satan just outright attacked Christians. He attacked and persecuted the early church. But that only caused Christians to lean on God even more. Instead of weakening Christians, that actually strengthened their faith, and they came together even stronger. So Satan changed tactics. Once he realized that he couldn't attack from the outside, he started to attack from the inside. He planted tares among the wheat. He has sent counterfeits into the congregations of our churches. And the church has suffered more from counterfeit Christians than all the years of persecution put together. Revelation chapter 3. Listen to what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3. He said, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Jesus was saying that lukewarm, superficial, counterfeit Christian literally makes him sick. He would much rather be out and out against him than to play church. Amen? Play Christian. Pretend to live for him. Too many pastors today and too many churches are watering down the Word of God. Yeah. Too many are twisting it, putting doubt where doubt should never be. And listen, if you ever find yourself in a church like that, leave immediately. Amen? Many will say, "Well, you know, my mom and dad go there, and my grandparents went there. My grandparents are buried out in the cemetery of the church." Listen, your grandparents would leave if they could too. Amen? Plain and simple. Now, I want to look into God's Word this morning and consider some things that we need to be cautious of, and also think about some things that we can be certain of. Let's go to Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 32. "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there any among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as everyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money in and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in, found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. First thing I want us to consider this morning is that we need to be cautious of fake dedication of counterfeits. Fake dedication. Now, as we see in this passage, starting in chapter 4, we see really complete opposites when it comes to dedication, don't we? First, we see a man named Barnabas. He was of one heart, one mind, and one soul of the Lord Jesus Christ and with his fellow believers. They were all in one accord. He saw their needs. He understood the persecution that they were enduring. So he goes out and he sells his land. He takes all the proceeds of that sale and he lays it at the apostles' feet to help meet those needs. This was true Christian dedication out of his love for his Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're introduced to a man named Ananias. Now, he and his wife Sapphira, they saw what Barnabas had done, but they also noticed all the attention that Barnabas was getting because of what he did. That's important for us to understand. And this desire for attention, this desire for praise, is what drew them in. So they decide to sell one of their possessions as well. But instead of giving all the proceeds to the apostles like Barnabas did, they choose to hold some of it back and to keep it for themselves. But what they did is they told everyone that they sold it for less than what they actually did, so it would match what they gave to the apostles. They made it sound like they did exactly what Barnabas did when Barnabas gave all the proceeds to the church. They purposely lied and had a fake dedication to the Lord. Now, what was at the root of their fake dedication? Plain and simple, it was pride. What's at the center of pride? The letter I. What's at the center of sin? The letter I. Pride is what filled their heart. They wanted all the recognition, all the glory, all the praise that Barnabas was getting, but without the dedication. Look back at verse 3 in Acts 5. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself?" What is Satan's favorite tool? Pride. What caused Satan to fall himself? Pride. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 5. "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We are to bring ourselves down. We are to humble our hearts and allow God to elevate us. That's exactly what Barnabas did. Barnabas simply loved his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He saw the needs of his fellow believers. And he went out, sold a possession, and gave the money to them to serve them. He did it out of his love for one another and his love for his Lord and Savior. He humbled his heart, and what did God do in turn? God exalted him to the point the apostles changed his name. His real name was Joseph. They started calling him Barnabas, son of encouragement. God exalted him because of his faithfulness, his humility, his humble heart. So in this passage, I want to point out a few things here in 1 Peter. It says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace is the ability and desire to do the will of God. Amen? That's what God gives us, his grace. He gives us that desire and that ability to do his will. And according to this verse, who does God give it to? The humble, right? Those with humility. But God gives grace to the humble. So someone who is filled with pride, they don't get what? They don't get God's grace. Amen? Someone whose heart is filled with pride does not receive God's grace. And not only do they not receive the grace of God, but the Bible also tells us here that God resists them. They isolate themselves from holy God. Skip down to verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see, that is the end result of pride. They're isolated from God and his grace. They don't receive his grace because of pride. And Satan begins to circle and prowl and then begins to devour. Amen? But a humble heart chases Satan away. Amen? A humble heart chases Satan away. So it was pride that filled their hearts. And that pride allowed Satan to offer them the lie that they gave to God's Holy Spirit. They desired praise over a true dedication to the Lord. Now I want to clarify something here real quick. Really important part. Let's go back to Acts chapter 5 again. Skip down to verse 4. This is important for us to understand. Listen to what Peter's clarifying here. He said, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. We need to understand that what Peter was clarifying here was that their sin was not that they failed to give everything, right? There was no decree, there was nothing that required them to give all the proceeds. They were perfectly fine if they sold the land, gave some to the church, and kept some to pay their bills. There was nothing wrong with that. Where they failed, the sin was in lying and saying that they gave it all to the church. Amen? Do we understand that? Yeah. That's what Peter was clarifying. Look, it was your land. You could have done whatever you wanted to. But you chose to sell it, keep some of the proceeds, but tell everyone that you gave it all to the church. That's where we need to understand. The sin was in lying. They said they did with a dedication that they didn't have. Amen? That's where they failed. That's where the sin comes in. And I hope and pray that none of us fall into this snare. Amen? God wants us to give to him freely. We need to understand that God doesn't need anything from us. Amen? We got to come to that conclusion very quickly. God doesn't need anything from us. He simply wants us to give to him freely. It's a step of faith. God simply wants to test our heart. It's a heart test. A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Amen? We need to be cautious of fake dedication by counterfeits in the congregation and make sure we don't have fake dedication in our own heart. Amen? Secondly, we also need to be cautious about planned deceit. Planned deceit. And the key word here is planned, right? Because we're all guilty of saying something that we shouldn't have from time to time, right? We're all guilty of reacting in a way that we shouldn't have out of anger. You know, a lot of times when someone plucks our nerve, you know, that last nerve that we have, we say things or do things that we shouldn't out of anger. This, what we're looking at in the book of Acts, is not that example. When we just say something out of anger, that's an impulse. We looked at it last week with David when he sinned with Bathsheba. It was a sin of impulse. It was a lust of the flesh. It was not something that he planned or premeditated. But let's look back in Acts chapter 5, verse 4 again, what Peter clarified there. He said, "While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing where?" They conceived it in their heart. This means that they planned it. They plotted it. It was premeditated ahead of time. This was not a spur of the moment white lie, right? Now, I want to clarify something there. It's not okay for little white lies either, right? We need to understand that a lie is a lie. You know, sometimes we say, yeah, it's just a little white lie. But that wasn't even one of those, right? This was a premeditated, planned out and out lie. Bottom line, Satan whispered it in their ear, and they made room for it where? In their heart. Now, I want you to listen very closely. Lying is satanic. We understand that? Lying is satanic. Don't take my word for it. Let's turn to John chapter 8, verse 44. Gospel of John 8:44. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him." Jesus is saying every time his lips move, he's lying, right? There is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. That means that every lie comes from who? Comes from Satan himself. So lying is satanic. We need to understand that and how important it is. We need to take lying way more serious than we do. Amen? There was a lady in a parking lot of a supermarket. Passerby looked in and she was in her car, kind of kneeled down holding the back of her head, and they walked over to it. It was a hot summer day and it was really hot. Her car wasn't started. She was just sitting in there holding the back of her head, leaned over. They knocked on her window and asked her if she was okay. She said no. They knocked. She said, "Can you unlock the door and let us in?" She unlocked it and opened the door, said, "What's wrong?" She goes, "I got shot in the head and I'm holding my brains in." They looked a little closer, moved her hands out of the way, and they saw a Pillsbury thing had popped. Smacked her in the back of the head, and she was holding biscuits on the back of her head. So the bottom line is, if you think you can lie to God's Holy Spirit, you got biscuits for brains. Amen. Amen. Plain and simple. Listen, lying is a serious issue, right? But lying to God's Holy Spirit is a grave problem. Peter declared, "Why have you allowed Satan to deceive you? Why have you allowed Satan to offer you this lie?" Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Plain and simple. So these are the things that planned deceit, that fake dedication. These are the things that we need to be cautious of. Amen? Now I want to touch base on some things that we need to be certain of. First thing that we need to be certain of is the discernment of God's word. Amen? The discernment of God's word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, Peter was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knew the word of God. Amen? And his knowledge of the word of God is what gave him his discernment. And he was able to see right through the lie of this couple. He saw right through it. We need to understand that we cannot hide anything from God. Physically or spiritually. Amen? Our heart and all of its secrets are an open book to the Lord. Plain and simple. I got a question. How would you like to have your heart and all of its deepest and darkest secrets on display for everybody to see? I don't know about you, but I wouldn't. Amen? Don't want that to happen. The Bible tells us that on Judgment Day, all the secrets and intents of your heart will be made manifest and revealed for all to see. But praise God, that is at the great white throne judgment where believers will not stand. Amen? I thank God. And I am glad that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and that His precious blood covers up all those bad things in my heart. Amen? Plain and simple. Never to be brought up, never to be remembered ever, ever again. The Apostle Peter, with his spirit-given discernment, you know, he saw through all the fluff. He saw through all their fake motives. He saw their true motive, and he found that sin. Half-hearted dedication will always manifest itself. Amen? Listen, we all have some stuff below the surface that we shouldn't. Amen? We all have some stuff in the flesh that we shouldn't have. That's why we need to pray with a heart like David prayed in the 139th Psalm. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way of everlasting." Friend, that should be the prayer of every believer. Amen. Last thing I want us to consider is that we need to be certain of God's dealings. Amen? God's dealings with counterfeits. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 5. Let's consider the end result of lying to the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5, skip down to verse 5. Then Ananias, hearing these words, he fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things, and the young men arose, wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. About 3 hours later, when his wife came in, not knowing what happened, Peter answered her and said, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." And Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of our Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, carried her out, and buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all those who heard these things. God will certainly We need to be absolutely certain of that God will deal with counterfeits. Amen? Be rest assured. In fact, God's judgment falls upon all mankind. Right? Starts with the sinner. God's judgment will fall upon the sinner. Praise God, Jesus Christ bore the judgment for our sins on Calvary. However, that is only for those who choose to receive that gift that Jesus gave us. Amen? Amen? That's only for those who trust in Christ. For those who reject Jesus Christ, they have to stand before that great white throne judgment. And they will be held accountable, and they will be judged for their sins. And that judgment is eternal damnation in an eternal flaming fires of hell. Amen? God also judges His servants. We think about that. Those who are saved, right? So Romans 8:1 tells us, "There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." You know, bottom line is that God is telling us that we will not stand before the great white throne judgment. That is reserved for only those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who are unsaved, they have to stand before the great white throne. Our sins, praise God, are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. However, the Bible tells us that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema judgment. Now, we're not standing there to be judged whether we're saved or unsaved. We're saved. We're in heaven. Amen? We need to understand that. Here, our deeds as a Christian will be judged. And it's not so much what we did for Christ or for the kingdom, but why we did it. Jesus is going to judge our motives. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we get a beautiful picture of what God is talking about here. 1 Corinthians 3, skipping down to verse 9. "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and then another one builds on top of it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw." Now I want you to pay attention to those six things listed. They're listed in order of value, right? Gold, silver, precious stones. And then underneath of that, we have wood, hay, and straw. "And each one's work will become clear." It will become manifest. "For the day will declare it." The day capitalized, meaning judgment day. "Because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which has been built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire." So it's going to be tested by fire, right? What happens when you put fire to gold? It just melts. Silver? It just melts. All the impurities rise to the top. How about precious stones? Doesn't affect them. Those are lasting rewards. Amen? That means what you did for Christ, you did out of a pure heart like Barnabas. Amen? And you're going to receive rewards for those. Now, those rewards are not for us to keep. Those are rewards that we are able to lay at Jesus' feet. Amen? Now, what happens when you put fire to wood, hay, or straw? Burns up. Those are those things that we did to get attention, right? Those are those things that we did to get a pat on the back. Those are those things that we did for the pastor to recognize us, or the person sitting next to us on the pew, or those around us to get praise. Those aren't lasting. Those will be burned up. Amen? That's what the Bema judgment is all about. And that fire that tests them, if you look in the book of Revelation, it describes who is having eyes as flames of fire. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that occurs at the Bema judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. So servants will be judged. For the Christian, there's still another judgment to consider. Sinners will be judged, servants will be judged, and so will sons. Amen? This takes place every single day, right? Every single day. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Skipping down to verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speak to you as to sons, right? So God is talking to sons, sons and daughters. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he endures. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Listen, we talked about it last week, right? God will convict, he will chasten us, and if it comes to that, he will confront us, right? Every time we sin, he starts with conviction. If we don't heed the conviction, then he goes to chastening. If we don't heed the chastening, God will get in our face and he will confront us. Each and every day when we fall into sin, this is what God does because he loves us. Amen? He loves us dearly and will do whatever it takes to keep us out of harm's way and to keep us on the right path. That's the love that he has for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church at Corinth. They were just absolutely desecrating the Lord's Supper, communion, right? So he wrote this to them. And he said, for this reason, many of you are weak and sick, and many sleep. Meaning what? Many Christians died because of their fake dedication. For if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Amen? But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. 1 John 5:16 tells us that there is a sin unto death. We need to understand that. There is a sin unto death for the child of God. These Christians at Corinth who did not discern the Lord's body, they came together when it was supposed to be for the Lord's Supper, and they turned it into a food fest, a gluttony fest. And what happened? There was a sin unto death. They themselves were saved, but God had to take them home early. Amen? Same thing that happened to Moses. God had to take him home early. So, question. Was this the case for Ananias and Sapphira? We don't know. I don't know. Could be. It's possible. Only God knows that, right? Only God knows if they were truly saved. But they certainly could have been. What we need to understand is that God is far more concerned with our soul than he is our body. Amen? 1 Corinthians 5:5. The Apostle Paul, once again, addressing some problems within the church at Corinth. He said, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul's instruction there was simply saying that God is more concerned about the soul that is eternal than he is about the body that is temporary. Amen? And if he has to take a child home early, then that's what he's going to do. There is a sin unto death. God is also concerned not just about our soul, our own. He's concerned about us, but he's also concerned about the church as a whole, isn't he? Amen? When we act out, when we act like the world, then we hurt the name of his church, don't we? Amen? And God is concerned about that. During the times that we're reading here in Acts 4 and 5, the church was just an infant, right? The church was just starting out. This was the early church. But it was unified. It was on fire. It was bringing glory to God, and people were coming to Christ in multitudes. Amen? And God did not want that corrupted. Acts, we go back to chapter 5. Look at verse 11. God took Ananias and he took Sapphira, right? And what happened? So great fear came upon all, who? The church. And that fear was meant to keep it healthy, to keep it strong, and to keep it fruitful. Amen? 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will it be? What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Amen. What God is saying, that he will judge even his sons and daughters. Judgment begins at the house of God first. Plain and simple. It brought fear to the church, and it brought salvation to the multitudes. We see that in Acts 5:14. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Listen, where Satan ruled, God overruled. Amen. Plain and simply. We need to be ever mindful. We need to be ever on guard. We need to guard our heart to recognize any form of false dedication, any form of planned deceit in our own lives. Amen. And we need to pray and ask God to search our hearts and to give us strength to keep our hearts pure. Amen. Let us ever come together in the pure love of Jesus Christ, and let us love him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our body, and all of our soul.